One of Jesus' favorite places when he walked the face of the earth was a little cottage in Bethany. It's on the backside of the Mount of Olives, and perhaps it was in a crook in the road, but he often came to this little cottage to rest, to eat, to relax, to fellowship. For in this little cottage lived some of his closest friends, again, while he walked the face of the earth. In that cottage lived Lazarus, a dear friend, and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. Jesus was away, and word came. The sisters sent word to Jesus that their brother, Lazarus, was sick. And they didn't ask him to come, but the implication, it's implied, that they wanted him to come. Especially if the conversation that we read a part of with Martha and Jesus after he got there, Martha said, "Hey, if you'd been here, my brother had not died." But Jesus got word that Lazarus was sick, and the Bible says that he didn't leave for Bethany right away. He waited a couple of days before he started. And he actually told his disciples, when they asked how Lazarus was doing, Jesus said, "Well, he's asleep." And his disciples said, "Well, if he's asleep, that must mean he's feeling better." And Jesus said, "No, I'll be real plain with you. He's dead. He has died. And so Jesus comes. He comes to Bethany. Martha hears that he's coming, and she runs to meet him. Mary stays in the house. And again, we read part of Martha and Jesus' conversation. It's not really the point of my message this morning. I would simply tell you that Jesus, in the passages, both when he talked to Martha and Mary, was trying to comfort them. Even though he knew what he was going to do, even though he knew that Lazarus was not going to stay dead long, he still tried to comfort these two sisters because they were grieving. In fact, in this passage, John 11:35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Again, he knew that he was going to go to the cemetery. He knew that he was going to stand before that grave and cry out, "Lazarus, come forth." He knew that Lazarus was going to come out of that grave alive. And yet he wept along with these two sisters because, again, they were his dear friends. He loved them, and he was grieving as they grieve. Now, I want to direct your attention to verse 28, the last phrase where Martha, after she gets through talking to Jesus, goes back to Mary, her sister, and she says this, "Mary, the Master is come and calleth for thee." The Master is come and calleth for thee. That's the title and the subject of my message this morning. It's a real simple message, but it's a message that if we could all grab a hold of, it would change our life. Because the truth in that little phrase, "The Master is come and calleth for thee," conveys the best news that God has for mankind. I want you to notice four things from that phrase, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." First of all, I want you to note who has come and who's doing the calling. It's the Master. The Master. Martha said, "Mary, the Master is come and calleth for you." Mary, it's the Master. The word Master means controller. It means the one that's in charge of everything. The Master is the one who runs the whole show. The Master is the one that gives the orders. The Master, in effect, is the boss. It was the Master that came. It was the Master that called for Mary. I want to remind you this morning that Jesus is the Master. Jesus is the King of Kings. Jesus is the Lord of Lords. Jesus is the creator and sustainer of life. Jesus is the controller of everything. He's the Master. Deaf ears obeyed him and heard. Blind eyes obeyed him and saw. Lame limbs obeyed him and walked. Mute tongues obeyed him and spoke. Raging sickness obeyed him and left the bodies where they were ravaging the bodies. Fevered brows, fevers obeyed the Master, and that fever was cooled. Dead bodies obeyed the master and came back to life. He's the master. He hasn't changed. He's still the master today. He spoke and the storming seas obeyed him. The waters calmed down and the winds died down. The earth obeyed him and shook as he came out of the grave. The moon obeyed him and darkened. Fish obeyed him and brought his tax money. Boy, I'd like to catch some of those fish. Peter said, "Hey, master, the tax collector came and talked to me. He wanted to know if we paid taxes." And Jesus said, "Well, what do you think, Peter?" And Peter said, "Well, I don't know. What do you think?" Jesus said, "Well, we need to render to Caesar what's Caesar's. Go fishing. First fish that comes, there's going to be a coin in his mouth. You take it out and pay your taxes and my taxes." He was the master of that fish. Bread obeyed him and multiplied. Demons obeyed him and fled. Chaos obeyed him and organized. He spoke and light came into existence. He spoke and the firmament that divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament came into existence. He spoke and dry land appeared. He's the master. He spoke and every tree and flower appeared on the dry ground. He spoke and every animal that's known to mankind came into existence. Everything that we see around us today was created by the master. Martha said, "Mary, Mary, the master is come. The master is come and calleth for thee." So notice who did the coming and who did the calling. The master, the controller, the creator, the sustainer of life. The King of kings and Lord of lords. The master, notice second, is come. Is come. Mary and Martha couldn't go to Jesus. He was away. They sent word. They had to take care of their brother. Lazarus was sick. They did everything they could to make him better. They couldn't go to Jesus. Even after he died, they couldn't go to Jesus. They had to stay at home. They had to plan the funeral. They had to bury their brother. And Martha came. Martha came with the good news. Mary, the master is come. We don't have to go to him. We don't have to travel to where he is. He's come to where we are. I want to tell you this morning, from earth to heaven is a long way. From earth to the throne of God is a long way. From our sin to the righteousness of God is a long way. And regardless of how we try to make the journey from where we are to where God is, there's no way that we can go. There's no way that we can make it. Some people tried to build a tower to heaven. They failed. Other people have tried different ways to get to God. They've tried to make that journey from where they exist on earth to where God is. And every one of those people have failed. They try to use their own righteousness. That won't make the journey. They try to use their own intellect. That won't make the journey. They try to wrap themselves in some religion, or they try to get baptized, or they take the Lord's Supper. They try to make the journey from where they are to where God is. It's a long way, and nothing that we do can enable us to make that journey. I've got some good news for you this morning. We don't have to make the journey. We don't have to go where God is. God came where we are. The master is come. Is come. Is come. We couldn't cross that great gulf that exists between us and God. But we don't have to, because he crossed that gulf for us. He was the Prince of Heaven. He sat at the right hand of God. And yet, in the goodness of God, Jesus made that journey from heaven to earth. He came to live among man. He came to teach us about the kingdom of God. He came to show us the kingdom of God. He came to exhibit the kingdom of God. He made the journey. He came. We sang the song at Christmas, but it's just as true the rest of the year. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. We didn't have to make that journey ourselves. God made the journey. He reached across that great gulf to a man who could not cross it on his own. I want you to notice something about his coming. He came just like they said he would. Just like this book in the Old Testament said that he would come, he came exactly like the prophets foretold that he would come. He came to the place that Micah said he would be born, Bethlehem. He came like Isaiah said he would, born of a virgin. He came like Moses said he would, under the stars. He came like Isaiah said he would, as a lamb. He came like David said he would, as an outcast. Again, as Isaiah told how he would come, as a child. Like Daniel said he would come, a stone cut out without hands. Like Isaiah again said he would come, wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, joy to the world. The Master has come. Notice, he did not come to a, he was not born to a debutante in Jerusalem. He came to a lowly maid of Israel. He was not born in a clean hospital. He was born in a dirty Judean manger. He didn't come wrapped up in Syrian silk. He came wrapped up in Bethlehem burlap. He didn't come to be a theologian and study behind monastery walls. He came to preach on the hills of Judea. He didn't come to practice religion. He came to swing a hammer and work as a carpenter. He didn't come in a way that made him unapproachable. He didn't come so only rich people or educated people or people that lived on the good side of the tracks could come to him. He didn't come that way. He came in a way that he could be, that any person, regardless of who they are or where they come from, he came in a way that they could approach the Master. The Master is come. And he came in a way that made himself available to every single person. The Master is come. The Master is come. He's come just like he said. He came in a way that made him available to every single person. A little girl was in the hospital. She was very sick, been sick for a long time. Most of the nurses tried to be cheerful around her. One morning she had a grouchy nurse, and a little girl looked at the nurse and said, "Nurse, you must not have heard the good news." Nurse said, "What good news? What good news? What are you talking about?" The little girl said, "Well, you're so grouchy, it's just, you must not have heard the good news." "Well, what's the good news? What are you talking about? What's the good news?" And the little girl looked up at her and smiled. "Jesus has come. Joy to the world. The Master has come." I want you to notice something else. Number three, the Master is come and calleth. He calleth. I love that word, calleth. It's the same word that's used in Matthew chapter 26, verse 74, where the Bible says, "And immediately the cock calleth," or the cock crew. Same word. That rooster, that crowed. Now, roosters, when they crow, don't do it in a still small voice. They don't say cock-a-doodle-doo. They say, "Cock-a-doodle-doo!" I'm sorry if I woke you up. We're about done. You need to wake up and get ready for lunch. It's the same word used in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, when Jesus cried from the cross. He cried out in a loud voice, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Same word, calleth. Same word used in Mark chapter 10, verse 49, when Jesus called for blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus sat by the road begging Jesus. And Jesus said, "Bartimaeus, come over here." Same word, calleth. Same word used in John 11, 43, when Jesus called as he stood in that cemetery in Bethany, "Lazarus, come forth." You see, the Bible tells us that when God spoke to Elijah, when he was hiding in the wilderness from Jezebel, he spoke in a still small voice. And he still does at times. But when he's calling, when he's calling, he calls. He wants everybody to hear him. He calls in a loud voice. He calls in a voice that everybody can hear if they're listening. He's calling in that loud voice today. As he calls for sinners to be saved, as he calls for Christians to have a closer relationship with him, as he calls for those to serve him, he doesn't do it in a still small voice. He does it in a voice that every single person has no problem hearing. As he came that day calling for Mary, I think he walked the street of Bethany. He said, "Mary, Mary, I'm here. Where are you? Mary, Mary, I'm looking for you. The Master is come and calleth." And then finally, the last part of that phrase, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." Martha went home with the news. Mary, Jesus is here. He's come and he's calling. And Mary, he's calling for you. Mary, he's looking for you. Mary was a single woman. Back in that day, single women didn't amount to much, according to the culture. They couldn't work. They were dependent on their brothers, in this case, to take care of them. And yet, here was Jesus calling for Mary. That's the people he called. Same kind of people. You could say, "The Master has come and calleth for thee, Zacchaeus, you wicked tax collector that cheated people to line your own pocket. He's calling for you because he wants to forgive you. He wants salvation to come to your house. He wants one day little children to sing that little song, 'Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he.' The Master is come and calleth for thee, Peter and John, fishermen engaged in commercial fishing, making their livelihood. He's calling for you to be a disciple, to come preach the gospel, to tell the world about him. The Master is come and calleth for thee, Saul, persecutor of Christians, that one that arrests Christians, burns them at the stake, throws them in prison. He wants to change your life, make you a preacher and a teacher, a writer. The Master is come and calleth for thee, Mary Magdalene, a fallen woman possessed by demons. He wants to change you so that you can minister to him and be the first one that he appears to when he comes out of the grave. The Master is come and calleth for thee, Matthew, that one that sets that receipt of customs. He wants to make you an evangelist so that you can go into the world and tell the story, tell his story. The Master is come and calleth for thee, thief on the cross. Don't really know what his crime is, but that one who hung beside Jesus, Jesus called to him. That man said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." The Master is come and calleth for thee, woman by the well of Sychar. You who have had 5 husbands living in adultery now, he wants you to have the living water so you'll never thirst again. The Master is come and calleth for thee, Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, teacher of the law. He wants you to be born again. I have to explain what it means to you, but he wants you to be born again. The Master is come and calleth for thee, crippled man by the pool of Bethsaida, 38 years lame. The Master's calling for you. He wants you to take up your bed and walk and demonstrate the power that he holds over life. The Master's come and calleth for thee, demonic of Gadara, filled with demons, living in the tombs, chains can't be held. He wants to change and give you your right mind. He's calling for you. The Master's come and calleth for thee, little children. The disciples would try to keep him away and say, "The Master's too busy." But the Master's never too busy for little children. "Let them come unto me," he said. The Master's come and calleth for thee, Thomas, you who walked with Jesus for over 3 years. the one that you preached and taught about, the one now that has doubts about if the resurrection is true. I want to tell you this morning, the Master is come and calleth for thee. It doesn't matter what your life has been like up until this point. It doesn't matter what kind of sin marks your life. It doesn't matter what kind of person you are, good or bad. The Master is come and he's calling you this morning. If you've never received Jesus Christ, he's calling you to be saved. If you're a Christian and you've wandered away from God, he's calling you to come back home. If you're a Christian and he wants you to serve him, he's calling you to service. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Notice verse 29. If you don't have your Bibles open, I'll read it to you again. As soon as she, Mary, heard that. Heard what? Heard Martha say, Mary, the Master is come and calleth for thee. She arose quickly and came unto him. That's what we need to do. As Jesus calls, whether it's for salvation, whether it's for a Christian to get back on the straight and narrow way, whether it's a Christian for service, the Master has come and calleth for thee. We need to arise quickly and come unto him. Would you do that this morning? Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your life has looked like up until this point. The Master has come, and he's calling for you, for you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you're that kind of God, that you sent Jesus to earth to save us, and now he calls us. I pray, Father, we'd hear that call. He calls in a way that nobody can shut him out. He calls in a way that nobody can say, I can't hear him. He calls in a way that we have to make a decision, yes or no. He calls in a way that we have to decide whether we're going to come or not. I pray for every person here that's never received Christ. They can't leave this place this morning without making a decision. They're either going to come to Christ or reject him. I pray, Father, you'd help them come. In just a second, we're going to sing an invitation song. If they'll come, we'll take the Bible and we'll show them from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray, Father, we're in the center of your will. We're doing exactly what you want us to do. If not, help us to hear your call and come to you this morning. Bless this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.